reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah, page 779 in your pew Bibles. And we read Isaiah chapter 51, verses 4 through 6. Give attention unto me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the book of Jude. It's found on page 1317 in your pew Bibles. And we read Jude chapter 20, or excuse me, there are no chapters. Jude verses 20 through 25. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Mark, found on page 1087 in your pew Bibles. We read Mark 13, beginning at verse 24. Jesus said, "In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with the responsory on the page 263.
Grace, mercy, and peace be
to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on both your, well, really all three of your lessons, all three of which talk about the end of times and the coming of our Lord. A number of years ago, and I think it was from a sermon that he was sharing, Dr. Al Berry mentioned an occasion that he had to visit a naval base. Some officer was touring around with him, and as he's watching ships come in, he notices a submarine, one of our nuclear submarines, entering into harbor. And as he's observing that, he turns to the naval officer that is with him, and he says, "Are there nuclear missiles on that submarine?" And the naval officer looks at him and says, "Yes, there probably are." And as Dr. Berry contemplated the awesome power just a few feet from him, he makes the remark, "What an awesome power to destroy." To which the naval officer quickly replied, "No, sir. What an awesome power to protect." In a perfect world, things like peace, liberty, joy, happiness, well, they just are. You don't have to fight for them. But it's not a perfect world, as we all know. And there is this dual side to our joys and our peace in life. They come at a great cost. And the maintenance of them requires destruction. And this dual character of our own earthly liberties and our own earthly peace is also seen in God's kingdom. It is not a perfect world. And when Christ comes again, it will be filled with destruction. And at the same time, salvation. But this is not something that just is for the end of time when Christ comes again. We also see this dual character of Christ's salvation in our own lives, as I was reminded of this last week, as I, along with our family, were present when LaVon was taken home to her eternal rest. Many of you have already experienced such a time in your own life, but if you haven't, and there happens to be somebody who is saying, well, that's just a part of life. That's just natural. Don't believe them for a second. Death is a horrible and horrific intrusion into God's perfect creation. Even when Jesus is going out to the grave of Lazarus and getting ready to raise him from the dead, shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept. God is filled with grief at the horror of death. And it's not just our own deaths where we experience this. It is in the death of our own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The price of our salvation is God's own destruction of His Son. It is not just the world that was inflicting pain upon a Jesus as He hung on the cross. In those powerful and yet grief-filled words, my God, why have you forsaken me? God was pouring out His vengeance against Jesus, His anger against sin, because the wages of sin is death. It's why we have to die. It's why Christ has to die to pay for our sins. But it is in the midst of all this destruction that we also, at the same time, find our salvation. Yes, God has to separate this sinful human flesh from the new person that He is creating in us through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the waters of baptism, the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Death is painful. But when we approach the hour of death, we don't approach it like the rest of the world who has no hope. We see beyond it. When we look forward to God's new creation, it will be through the destruction of this world. All that has been touched by sin must be destroyed. And yet, in the midst of all that destruction, God promises us there will be a new heavens and a new earth. Just like when this sinful flesh is destroyed, God promises us a new life and new bodies. In a perfect world, this would not have to be. But it's not a perfect world. But to all those who want to be rid of their sin, this is the promise that God holds out. And it is our attitude towards the sin that is the ultimate dividing mark. Sin must be destroyed. Sin can have no place with God. There can be no heaven if sin is still present. And so who will be saved? And who condemned? When Christ does come again, or when we die and we go to meet God, the dividing wall is simply this. Do you want to be rid of sin or not? And do you want to try to fix it yourself? Or will you accept what God has done, putting forth His own Son to pay for the sins of the world? It sounds like a simple choice and an easy choice. But unfortunately, we live in the world where sin rules. People may want to live forever, but they want to live in their own sin. We see this even at the Garden of Eden. And what, for many people, when they first read through the Genesis account, seems rather strange. There is this episode right after Adam and Eve fall into sin, right after God has cursed them, where He says, unless they put forth their hands and take from the tree of life and live forever. And then He boots them out of the garden and puts a cherubim to guard the way, a flaming sword going back and forth so that no one can pass and eat from that tree. Growing up, I always thought that passage to be a little bit strange. Why wouldn't God want them to live forever? It is because they would have lived forever in sin. God condemned us to death, earthly death, so that He could separate us from sin. And when we die, or when He comes again, that's what's going to happen. Will we want to be separated from sin? Will we want it out of our lives forever? Will we accept Christ's payment? Or do we just want to live forever in sin? Do we think that we can fix the problem of sin in our lives all by ourselves without God's help? For those who want to cling to sin, for those who think they can solve it all by themselves, the day when we go to meet Christ in death, or the day when He comes again, is going to be a day of destruction. He will put us away from Him to live forever in what we wanted to live in. But for those who hate sin, and for those who welcome what Christ has done for us, that is not a day of destruction. Yes, we put off our sinful flesh. Yes, there's a momentary time of pain and suffering. But it is followed by a time of eternal peace and joy, living with the God whom we love and living with all who have loved His appearing. May God grant that when we close our eyes in death, or that moment in time finally arrives where Christ comes again, it will be for us a day of salvation, a day of glorious victory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.